My name's Will DeFreeze, and this is the Sunday Scaries Podcast, your cure for the Sunday blues. The Everything Shower. It's been talked about ad nauseum over the last few months. It's a time to do, well, everything. Shampooing, conditioning, cleansing, toning, exfoliating, shaving, moisturizing. And when I asked Sunday Scaries listeners about their own everything showers, times ranged everywhere from 20 minutes to 40 minutes to 2 hours. Environmental factors aside, I've never been averse to overshowering. I've never loved sweating, and in return, I've never really loved being dirty. It's the same reason that I don't even like eating Doritos. I just feel like my hands can't get clean after getting through a bag. Every morning, I start my day with an immediate 5-minute shower. A liberal amount of body wash with my loofah yields the reset that I need in between waking up and going about my day. I brush my teeth, I clean my beard, I apply some deodorant, and I'm pretty much ready for anything. And while I try to do it responsibly, I'm very likely to get lured into a nighttime shower that consists of a lot of steam, a FaceTime routine, and a lot of time spent with my eyes closed, in a robe gracing my body immediately following. In this world, there are two types of people, those who shower to get clean and those who shower to rest. I'm certainly the latter. When I was doing the bulk of my writing that I've done in my career, I considered mornings to be my most creative time. One of my favorite writers once did an interview where he discussed his morning writing routine. And while I don't think that interview exists in any format anymore, he explained that his brain in the morning hadn't been clouded with everything else going on in his life yet. And the more that I began to write, the more credit I began to give this theory. It was soon after I began writing full-time that I made a request that if I had to do any editing of other people's columns, I'd like to do that in the afternoon if possible. Mainly so that my only responsibility in the morning was being as creative as humanly possible. And luckily for me, that request was approved. I don't know where I get most of my ideas. If I had to give an actual answer, I'd probably say on my commutes to and from the office. But if I had to give a close second, I think I could make a case for the shower. Shower thoughts are nothing new. It's one of the most popular subreddits that there's ever been. It's how the mail-in podcast on the Wash Media Network ends every episode. And it's several Instagram accounts that are very much in the Sunday Scaries vein. And yes, it makes sense to me that they are a thing. Anytime you're doing something free of distraction, I truly believe that you're more likely to use your brain in a way that you find inspiring. But is that how it actually works? The Washington Post pretty much asked the same question, and here's what they found. Quote, in a 2019 study, 98 professional writers and 87 physicists recorded their most creative idea each day, as well as what they were doing and thinking of when it struck them. They go on to say, while most of the ideas occurred at work, 20% of the most meaningful ideas came while doing something else, washing dishes or taking a shower. Notably, the ideas that the writers and physicists had away from their jobs were self-assessed to be just as creative and as important as the ones that they had at work. One interviewee asked a question that actually makes me want to extend my showers. Quote, how many things can you do as successfully in the shower as you can while you're at your desk? They link a wandering mind to creativity. One study from September even yielded the conclusion that having free-flowing and spontaneous thoughts during a moderately engaging activity, but not a boring one, actually boosted creativity. Which, of course, makes sense when you take into account those places where I find myself having the best ideas. The shower, my commute, walking my dog. You know, any time that I'm not lying down staring at my phone. I had some free time one morning in recent memory. I was lying in bed and my phone was plugged in next to me. Normally, and I don't think that I'm alone here, one of the first things I do is roll over and check my phone, see if anyone's texted, see if I missed anything major in the news cycle overnight, make sure the world isn't burning down, check my work email, etc., and so on. But this morning, I decided to crack our shades and stare out the window for a little bit. I think back to my childhood when I do this almost every weekend morning. I'd wake up and I'd lie in bed for about 45 minutes before actually getting up. And I didn't realize it at the time, but those moments of staring out the window or at my ceiling almost feel meditative to me now. I don't get those moments much anymore. If my alarm doesn't go off before I want it to, my son will definitely make sure that I'm awake regardless. Normally, when I'm on my commute these days, I feel like I'm getting shot out of one cannon into another cannon. I hate admitting this, but if I'm in a bad mood on my commute, that will probably linger throughout the rest of the day. The more I've thought about those mornings when my mind trailed off as a kid, the more I yearn for them these days. The older you get, that I've realized, the fewer and further between these moments of solitude become. So these days, it's more about becoming aware of them when they wiggle their way into my life rather than not. But if you're aware of your shower thoughts and that they are occurring in the moment, are they even really shower thoughts by definition in the first place? I guess that's something I'll have to sort out during my next everything shower, whenever that may be. Mugsy makes the most comfortable jeans, chinos, shorts, and joggers ever. Made from buttery soft, patented stretch materials that look stylish but are insanely comfortable, they're never too baggy and never too tight. They're frankly the best things to happen to legs since chairs, and the guys at Mugsy have one mission in life, to give every guy the confidence to walk blindly into their closet, reach out, and know that whatever they pick out will have them looking good and feeling even better. Mugsy also just dropped their Cool Max denim that are like air conditioners for your legs. They spent years in the lab developing the most breathable jeans ever, designed with lightweight fibers to ensure a cool breeze with every single step. You can go from the backyard barbecue to the bar, all in one swift motion, all summer long. But denim isn't the only thing they do. They've got great looking t-shirts, swim trunks, crew necks, pretty much anything that you would have in your wardrobe, you can go get at Mugsy. Head to Mugsy.com and get 10% off now using promo code SCARIES. That's 10% off some of the most premium jeans, chinos, swimwear, and shorts on the internet. And Mugsy also offers free shipping and returns, so there's absolutely no risk in giving them a try. If you're in Chicago, Boston, D.C., or Austin, Texas, make sure to head downtown and check out their storefronts as well. Easy vibes every time, and you can even enjoy a beer as you shop. I grew up squarely on the shores of Lake Michigan, and I never really understood the effect that that had on me fully until just recently. I know, you've heard me talk about my hometown a million times. It's just a running trope on this podcast. And if you go to Wikipedia, you'll see that there were 1,194 official residents in 2010, and I was one of them until 2015. While I don't have a knack for sailing or have ever even really owned a boat, the water has always been something that I feel intrinsically connected to. Our high school football stadium overlooked the bay. If we took photos for a dance, like prom, there was a good chance that we'd be asked to pose at the dock at some point. Even our high school overlooked the bay, and I spent many a day zoning out, looking out the window, thinking about absolutely nothing. Maybe even a shower thought or two happened to creep in my mind. And I think it was just that. I was thinking about nothing at all. The water in front of me, something most high school students would kill for, was officially being taken for granted. It wasn't until I moved to Ohio for college when I realized how much I craved being near it. The views weren't as plentiful. Everything felt a little more inescapable. I just felt like there was no natural place to go where I could tune out, you know, besides a classroom that didn't have the same view as I had in high school. It should really come as no surprise that people gravitate toward the water. After all, it's been like that forever. From trade to defensibility to resources, the human race has existed near water intentionally for longer than I can really fathom. Back in the day, we called it a secret beach for a while. But I think it was more because we liked the idea of it being a secret rather than it actually being one. For me, it was just a quick bike ride. For those who would meet me, they'd have to park on the road and walk a bit to the entrance. It wasn't really that far. I never wanted to invite that many people there. First and foremost, I didn't want it to be overrun with people who I didn't want there. This was very self-serving, but it was also the least attended public beach in town, and I wanted it to stay that way. The more important reason, though, was that I simply wanted it to remain a place that I could go to without fear of seeing someone else. I didn't live on beachfront property, but I had a personal stake in this small piece of land that so few people were using. I messed up once in high school. And because I didn't know where to go, I got in my 1995 Subaru Legacy wagon and I drove it down to the beach where I'd end up sitting for the next few hours, looking, watching, staring at the lake as it moved and it shifted with the weather, with the time of day, and with how I was first personally feeling. While I don't think there's any real physical Moana-like relationship that I have with the water itself, I do think there are attributes of it that rub off on all of us when we find ourselves near it. Even now, I have one simple request when we stay on vacation somewhere near a body of water that I tell my wife. If they have it, I'd love to have a view. It's a lofty request, yes, but when it gets fulfilled by a hotel, vacation seems easier to lean into than to not lean into. And I love it. And so in saying all this, I really began to wonder if there was actually any evidence of my mental health being positively affected by it. Of course, I knew there would be something in support of it based on my proximity and how it's treated me in the past and how I'm looking at it in the future. And there was. There's the Walter J. Nichols Blue Mind Theory that suggests that being near water can promote a state of calmness, relaxation, and increased focus. They say waterfronts, and I quote, have been associated with improved cognitive function, reduced symptoms of anxiety and depression, and enhanced well-being overall. There's even studies that indicate that we're more likely to be active near water, promoting increased physical wellness too. Insider reported that a 2021 study showed that salt water contains various minerals and trace elements like magnesium, potassium, and calcium, which are believed to have potential health benefits that really play into this very well. They went on to say that these minerals may promote relaxation, help with inflammation, support your skin health, and just, you know, help you raise your mental health when you're swimming and spending time at the beach. Recently on a drive, an artist came on who I've been hearing a lot from lately on my Spotify algorithm, probably because I ended last year on an absolute kick of listening to him, Sam Fender. The song was Wild Gray Ocean, and these are the first four lyrics. Wild gray ocean, buried in my eyes. The coast town muscles, weekdays through 9 to 5s. I finish work and compartmentalize with the wild gray ocean buried in my eyes. The struggles and challenges of the ocean, the uncertain behaviors, the unpredictable nature, the vast, mysterious, and hard to navigate nature of it all. Sounds kind of like a typical Sunday, doesn't it? So many experiences that I have that I look fondly upon are experiences that are around travel or dipping into other cultures. Whether it was a trip that my parents took to London with me when I was in fifth grade, or my Lithuanian pen pal from fourth grade, I always take myself back to these moments that impacted my life. And guess what? Summer is a season brimming with wonder, curiosity, and the thirst for discovery, and you can foster your kids' curiosity with the KiwiCo Atlas Crate, a monthly educational adventure that sparks a love for learning. Each crate transports children to fascinating countries, cultures, and landmarks, opening their eyes to wonders of the globe. When you sign up for Atlas Crate, KiwiCo delivers crates packed with hands-on projects, engaging activities, and fascinating stories that transport your child to different corners of the globe. When we got our last Atlas Crate in the mail, it was celebrating Children's Day by allowing us to dip into some Japanese culture. We got to make a fluttering carp wind sock, something that I had never done before, and it was so much fun and so enjoyable to do with my son. Unlock a world of exploration with Atlas Crate's monthly subscription. Each month, they can go on their new adventure, and you can do it all from home, feeding their curiosity. If you're ready to take on the world, explore hands-on projects that help your child develop an appreciation for other world cultures. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping at kiwico.com/atlas, promo code SCARIES. That's 50% off your first month at kiwico.com/atlas, promo code SCARIES. There was a generational vibe shift that occurred around 2019. Interest of it always picked up around the holidays and the years leading up to it, but 2019 was the first time that early adopters truly became in vogue. It wasn't until the following holiday seasons that this specific cocktail found itself squarely in the zeitgeist that is the early 2020s. Of course, I'm talking about what some people call the adult Red Bull vodka, the espresso martini. Normally ordered in packs to end one's meal, these drinks have gotten a chokehold on group dinners like we've never seen before. The New York Times notes that this is a far cry from their heyday in the late 90s, and with good reason. While some began drinking lower ABV cocktails, something I'm actually a big fan of, and others just drank Zimas, the recent resurgence has been hard to ignore. They also said, things are still buzzing. In the first 6 months of 2021, the rate of mentions of espresso martinis in U.S. food and restaurant reviews is up nearly 300% from the same period 3 years earlier. But much like all trends, you kind of reach a point where you become tired of being part of the group, being part of the norm. Sure, it feels absolutely electric to look up at a group dinner and see a dozen espresso martinis littering the table, but we're about 3 years into this novelty now. It's not even a novelty. Much like a lot of people, I began to wonder what's next. I know, this is some sort of drink of the summer adjacent discussion that most people are probably tired of having at this point. But when trying to sort out what the future would be, I ended up looking in the past. I know, I sound a little like Matthew McConaughey right now. Houston, Texas, summer 2018. We had just polished off several pizzas as a group, the vibes were high, and we were about to depart for a club where I could barely afford one single vodka soda. That is, until one of our friends uttered some words that would forever change our lives. Should we get a round of Carajillos? Of course, I had no idea what the hell she was talking about, but she had such a convincing accent while saying it, much better than mine admittedly, which is not very good, that I couldn't help but attach myself to the movement. Because I didn't want to sound uncultured, I did what I always do in those moments. I waited for someone else to ask what the hell she was talking about. She explained that it was a pretty straightforward recipe. A shot of espresso mixed with liquor 43, all poured over ice. And of course, my next question was, well, what's liquor 43? Well, it's a golden-hued Spanish liqueur made with a secret blend of 43 herbs and spices, tasting like citrus, vanilla, and with underlying notes of spice. And once we got full buy-in from the rest of the table, we were off to the races. Eight put down on the table, eight down the hatch in under 10 minutes. Why it didn't stick with me that day, well, I'll never really know. Since that fateful night, my espresso martini intake has probably quadrupled my intake of Carajillos, if not more. And maybe that's why I'm discussing them today, as an alternative that hasn't totally caught on for me yet, but I'm simply searching for a reason for it to. When researching the history of these, my results yielded what I've found with a lot of cocktail histories that I've relayed on this podcast, and that's competing origins. One common story suggests that the Carajillo was created during a Spanish occupation of Cuba in the 19th century. Spanish soldiers, stationed in Cuba wanted to add some extra strength to their morning coffee, so they began by adding a splash of rum to it. The word Carajillo is believed to be derived from the Spanish word coraje, which means courage or bravery. Adding alcohol to their coffee was said to give the soldiers the courage that they needed in order to start their day. Another suggests that the Carajillo originated in Mexico, where it was made by adding liquor 43 for the first time. Do I often need a little courage or bravery in social situations these days? Well, sure, of course I do. Is slamming a bunch of Carajillos going to cure that anxiety? Well, maybe after one or two. But in a world where everything seems to be pre-decided for us with algorithms and discover feeds, wouldn't it feel nice to order something for the table that just a few people might not have heard of before? While I'm not indicating that the Carajillo is anything novel to me or my friend group, I do think it's a good mix-in when things have become stale on the espresso martini front. And who knows, perhaps more restaurants will even start carrying Liquor 43 if we all start requesting them. Balls in your court, everybody. Enjoy. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also follow along on Twitter, @SundayScaries, and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries, or you can follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFreeze. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. We'll see you next Sunday.